Okay. The recording has started. I'm merging in Mataji. So we'll start off with the prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tarinam Vancha Kalpataro Bhishcha Kripasin Rupya Yevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaham Vishnupraya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is our we'll first have to start off with a quick revision. Today we are continuing to do verses. We have already seen till 15 in the previous class. This is our class 7. So we are going to do verses 16 to 21 today. We are still in the creation process. So we'll do a quick recap as usual. In class 1, we did introduction. We went through how Brahma Samhita was retrieved and what are the different sections of the Brahma Samhita and what are the different topics discussed in Brahma Samhita and how Brahma Samhita is very similar to Srimad Bhagavatam in the sense it gives the summary of Srimad Bhagavatam in a few verses. That was class 1. Then in class 2, we covered verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 is Ishvara Paramakrishna, as all of us know, establishing the supremacy of Krishna. And then in general, in the next verse, we saw about Goloka Vrindavan and how Gokul and Goloka are actually the same. Class 3, we did verses 3 and 4. We discussed the central world of Goloka Vrindavan, which is the residence of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. We spoke about the yantra and the mantra, especially discussed about Gopal Gayatri. We saw the Prakata and Aprakata Leelas and how one enters into the Aprakata Leela within this Gokul Vrindavan, through mantra upasana and getting into the Swarasuki state. Then we also saw how the petals are actually the residences of the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan, and how the spiritual dam actually opens and closes to facilitate the movement of the Lord and his associates. Then in class 4, we saw verses 5 and 6. So verses 5 and 6 spoke about the Chaturvyuha in Goloka, that is Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Shankarsana, Vasudeva in Goloka Vrindavan, and also how the different Vedas and the Purusharthas, which is Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, are in the Artha, purest forms in Goloka Vrindavan. And then we saw the mysterious region of Shvetadvip, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resides. And we saw why Shvetadvip is so special. We also saw an introduction to the Lord's internal potency. And once we discussed about Shvetadvip, we also saw these Trishulas, which are guarding the Goloka Dham, and the different jewels that are also guarding the Dham. So this was the entire structure of Goloka Vrindavan that was discussed up to class 4. And in verse number 6, verse number 5, we discussed all this. Then from verse number 6, we discussed about the Lord's internal potency, which is Yoga Maya, and how Yoga Maya has a very important role to play. Then in class number 5, we covered verses 7 and 6. So in 7 and 6, we discussed in detail about the Lord's external potency, which is Mahamaya, and how Mahavishnu sports with his internal potency, Ramadevi. She is also known as Yoga Nidra. And we spoke about how there is this external energy and the internal energy, and Mahavishnu glances over the external energy, who is Maya, and his glance is indirect, in the sense a dim halo from his glance, which is called a Shambhu, actually contacts Maya. Then we spoke about Pradhan. Pradhan is like the cooked down soup, which is all elements mixed together. And Mahatattva is basically the separated elements. And we spoke about how the glance of Mahavishnu has two aspects to it. One is called as Mahavishnu itself, and the other one is Advaita Acharya. So one part of the glance, Mahavishnu has two aspects of the glance. One glance actually falls over Maya, and the other one actually agitates the Pradhan. So this is what we saw, and the one that agitates the Pradhan is called Advaita Acharya. Then we saw about how Shambhu and Maya are actually the father and mother of our universe, though Lord Mahavishnu is the original cause. Now in class number 6, which was the previous class, we did verses 9 to 15. We got into more details of creation. So this was a difficult class, in the sense it was very confusing, and actually today's class will be even more confusing, so a heads up. At least for me it was very confusing. So verses 9 to 15 in the previous class, we saw more details about creation. We discussed the male and the female principle of creation. That is how Maya and Shambhu actually execute creation. We saw how the universes are like golden sperms that emanate from the pores of the body of Mahavishnu when he exhales, and these sperms enter into the accommodating chamber. And then later, how the elements actually cover these sperms or seeds, and they enlarge, but still, we saw in the previous class, these elements are actually personalities, so they were not cooperating with each other. Okay. Then in the final verse that we saw in the previous class, we also saw how the different characters were introduced from Karanodakshaya Vishnu or Mahavishnu. So we saw how Garbhodakshaya Vishnu was an expansion of Mahavishnu. He was his personal expansion. Shirodakshaya Vishnu came from the left limb of Mahavishnu. Brahma, original Prajapati or the prototype Prajapati, was created from his right limb. Then we saw how the elements of nature go and pray to Mahavishnu to help them combine. So this is what we have seen so far. This is a quick recap, especially now we are concentrating on creation. So yes, the previous class was majorly talking about creation. So far we have seen these golden sperms have come out. They are coming out from Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu, there is this role of the elements. They are not able to combine properly, so they go and they pray to Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu promises them to help them combine. Meanwhile, Mahavishnu is also creating different personalities like Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, and the Prajapati Brahma or the prototype Brahma. So this is what we have seen till now. Okay, now we are now in verse number 16. So we'll get into these verses. Somehow, if you see many of these verses, especially with respect to creation, they may not be in typical order. So some verses, like especially from verses 16 to 21, we will see probably 18 or something a little later. I will do the ordering so that we can understand easily. So for now, we'll get into verse 16, okay? I'll not talk about it now. We'll just get into verse number 16. अहंकारात्मकं विश्वं तस्मादेतद् विजयत. Translation. The function of Shambhu in relation to Jivas is that this universe enshrining the mundane egoistic principle has originated from Shambhu. So this verse, it talks about the original egoistic principle is originating from Shambhu. So now that we have seen the Mahatattva has come about, and they are all the elements of this material nature is going and praying to Mahavishnu, what else is there, is what this verse is saying. So this verse says that the egoistic principle is actually coming from Shambhu. So we all know in the spiritual world, there is no question of egotism. There is no conception that I am the independent enjoyer. no such thought. Usually it is devoid of separated egoism. And the basic principle of the spiritual world itself is the Supreme Lord, and everyone is focused as being his servants. Now, in the material world, we all have separated egoistic symbols. We have false ego, we think we are important, we have this concept of bodily identification. So that is the bodily identification itself is because of false ego, right? So we have false ego. So we think we are important, and material world is a perverted reflection of the influence of the chit potency. The chit potency, or the Lord's chit potency, Rama Devi, she always encourages the idea that we are all devotees, okay, or the Lord's internal energy, you can say. She's always encouraging to us that, I mean, she gives us this encouragement that we are devotees. But when we come to this material world, when we are separated from the Lord, we get a perverted reflection of separatedness. We think we are not connected with the Lord, or we are not the servants of the Lord. So this material world, this nature is there, which is very different from the nature that is there in the spiritual world. And it is not exactly our inherent how we should be. Rather, we are in an artificial situation. So this verse, it indicates that the material world itself emanates from Shambhu, and he is the material causal principle embodying this false ego. So this verse, it talks about two things. One, it says that this material world is coming out of Shambhu. Not only that, this principle of false ego is actually a gift given to us by Shambhu. So why do they say it's a gift? Because we wanted to enjoy separate, right? We want to enjoy separate. That's why we develop false ego. And this is that's why we come to this material world as the understanding. So Shambhu's gift to us is this principle of false ego. So when the jivas come into this material world, the egoistic principle enters into their identity and makes them to think that we are the enjoyers. So this principle is embedded inside us even before we have got the bodies. Okay, so now the four-headed Brahma has not even come inside, and he has not even started creation where we have got our bodies and all that. But even before that, we are gifted with this principle of ego, okay, before we get our bodies. So, and eventually, this false ego, it results in frustration and anger due to enjoying in a false egoistic way. And that's how we realize, I mean, it's a process actually. Initially, we have false ego, then we try to enjoy with our false ego, then that leads to anger and frustration over a period of time because it is not our natural state. We feel very frustrated, and eventually, we discover who we are. And we ask the questions, why am I here? Then we understand we are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and we go through this entire process of taking up Krishna consciousness and perfecting our life and going back to Godhead. That's when we shed our false ego. Okay? So the principle of false ego is introduced in this verse. Now, however, the good side of it is that the internal energy is more powerful, because it is this internal energy that keeps encouraging us to think that, you know, even our thought of I should get out of this material world, or even our thought that I am not the enjoyer, I should surrender unto Krishna, is actually an encouragement from the chit potency of the Lord. It is the internal energy, Radharani, as we call her, who is encouraging us to get out of this material world. And she is definitely more powerful. So we have to eventually get out of this conception. So with the mercy of the devotees performing devotional service, we can conquer this false ego and return back to the spiritual world. So this verse talks about principle of false ego. We'll go to verse number 17.
Athataistri vidhairvishailam udvahata kila yoganitra bhagavati tasya shrir iva sangata.
Thereupon, the same great personal Godhead, assuming the threefold forms of Vishnu, Prajapati, and Shambhu, entering into the mundane universe, placed the pastimes of preservation, creation, and destruction of this world. This pastime is contained in the mundane world. Hence, it being preserved, the Supreme Lord, identical with Mahavishnu, prefers to consort with the goddess Yoganitra, the constituent of his own spiritual chit potency,
full of the ecstatic trance of eternal bliss, appertaining to his own divine personality. I'll just read the purport because it's very short, and then of course we will discuss more on the purport. But the purport says, the dislocated portions of the divinity, which is Prajapati and Shambhu, both identifying themselves as entities who are separate from the divine essence, sport with their respective non-spiritual Achyut consorts, who are Savitri Devi and Uma Devi. So these are the consorts of the dislocated parts, okay? Who is Shambhu and Prajapati Brahma. So who are the consorts? They are Savitri Devi and Uma Devi. And they are perfect, just like how Shambhu is a perverted reflection, or rather anything in this material world is more of a perverted reflection. Similarly, Savitri Devi and Uma Devi are actually considered to be the perverted reflections of the spiritual chit potency. But the Supreme Lord Vishnu is the only Lord of the spiritual chit potency, Rama or Lakshmi. So even here also, again, it has been specifically mentioned that Mahavishnu is always with his internal potency, chit potency, which is Rama or Lakshmi, which is purely spiritual. And then we have, we can say, a material tinge to the other two personalities who are sporting with their Achyut potencies. Okay, and also the other point that this verse, as we just read it, it talks about how that Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, they play the roles of creation, preservation and destruction of the world. So we are very familiar with this. We all know, we say Trimurti, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, they are in charge of material creation, preservation and destruction. The thing is, we know only so much. We don't know the rest of it. What is there beyond this? So that is what the Brahma Samhita is actually discussing in more detail. So verse number 17 talks about this, but we'll get into further elaboration. So by the will of Mahavishnu, these three entities, who are the three entities? We already saw in the previous class. One comes from his left limb, one comes from his right limb, one comes from the middle of his eyebrows. And then the other one is actually his personal expansion. So we'll revise that again. Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is the personal expansion of Mahavishnu, or Karanodakshayi Vishnu. Karanodakshayi Vishnu is equal to Mahavishnu. They are the same. And from him, his personal expansion becomes Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who will enter into each and every universe. Okay. Then from his left limb, we have Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, who will eventually become the Paramatma in everyone's heart. And he will also enter into all the atoms. So that is Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, who is created from his left limb. So in every universe also, you will have Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Similarly, from his right limb, who comes out? Prajapati Brahma. The prototype Brahma is coming out, and his expansion will be the individual Brahmas of the individual universes. Okay? And from the center of his eyebrows, we have Shambhu, who begins creation. Okay, so this is what is, these are the three entities, the principal entities. They enter into each universe, and they are also the deities who control the modes. So we just saw about creation, destruction, and preservation. So creation, destruction, preservation, they are ruled by three modes of material nature. What is that? Sattva guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. So for tamaguna, you need for destruction, sattva guna, you need for preservation, and rajaguna, you need for creation. So they are also the deities controlling the three modes. So in each and every universe, an expansion of the prototype Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, the Prajapati and the Shambhu, they are going to enter. Okay, even a principle of Shambhu, that is a Shiva Tattva, is also going to enter. We will see that in future verses, how Shiva later, he is again created from the middle of the eyebrows of Brahma within each universe. So that the Shiva Tattva is very complicated. They flow down through different levels of the universe, and also before the creation of the universe, they also have them in the spiritual world as Sadashiva. So all of them, they enter into each of the universes. Vishnu continues to enjoy his pastimes with Rama Devi or Lakshmi Devi or Yoganitra, and he doesn't enjoy the Achyut potency. And the demigods have their sense of dependency on the Supreme Lord. So these are the things that is kind of stressed in verse number 17. Now verse number 18. Verse number 18 is the verse I was thinking we can do later. Okay, once we finish till verse number 21, we can bring about, or maybe verse number 20, we can talk about verse 18. Because if we do verse 18 now, we'll lose the flow and we'll get confused of what's happening. So I will skip verse 18, but I will remember to come back. And then if we see verse number 18, then the whole thing will make sense. Otherwise, there will be a split in the flow of what we are talking. Okay, I'll go to verse 19. Tatvani purvarudhani karanani parasparam samavaya prayogascha vibhinnani pritakrita chitchaktya sajjamano atha bhagavanadi purushah yojayan mayaya devo yoganitra makalpayat. I didn't do word to word actually today. Maybe from this verse we'll do word to word. Tatvani, elements, purvarudhani, previously created, karanani, causes, parasparam, mutually, samavaya, of the process of conglomeration, aprayogat, from the non-application, cha, and vibhinnani, separate, pratak pratak, from one another, chitchaktaya, with his spiritual potency, sajjamanaha, associating, atha, then, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adi Purusha, the primal Godhead, Yojayan, causing to join Mayaya with Maya, Deva, the Lord, Yoganitram, Yoganitra, Akalpayat, he concerted with. Translation? Before their conglomeration, the primary elements in their nascent state remained originally separate entities. Non-application of the conglomerating process is the cause of their separated existence. Divine Mahavishnu, primal Godhead, through association with his own spiritual chit potency, moved Maya, and by the application of the conglomerating principle, created those different entities in their state of cooperation. And alter that he himself, after that it should be a thing, after that he himself, concerted with Yoganidra by way of his eternal dalliance with the spiritual chit potency. So this is the statement, and this is the verse that talks about how Mahavishnu later, it talks about the elements, like how they were not cooperating, right? We left it there. In the previous class, we were talking about how the elements were not cooperating. So they went and they approached Mahavishnu. So this verse, it gets into the details of how later, how Mahavishnu helped them to cooperate. Okay. So we will see a discussion on that, how to understand this point. This is verse number 19. So first, everything, they were mixed, right? The material elements, they were all mixed and it was called Pradhan. Like how the soup is, totally combined. The elements are not differentiated. So that was the initial stage. Then it separated to Mahatattva. We saw that. Okay, this is all already done. We have already done this in the previous classes. From how we understood that it's a completely cooked down soup, from that the elements, we put a rewind and we saw that the elements are separated. Pradhan, we saw the concept of Pradhan, then we saw the concept of Mahatattva. Okay. Now, each of the universes have their stock of elements, okay? So, after this was done, after the Pradhan became Mahatattva, and this was there in each and every universe, after this was done, Mahavishnu actually, he goes back to his pastimes with Rama. He did not participate further, okay? But at that time, these elements, they didn't cooperate well. They didn't cooperate. It was important for them to cooperate. They didn't cooperate well. So then they went and they asked Mahavishnu what to do. Okay. So Mahavishnu will arrange in such a way that his expansions will take care of the remaining process and help them cooperate with each other. Okay. So what we'll do is we'll read some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam so that we understand. We won't do purport or something. We'll just read important verses that talk about how the creation actually continued. Okay, what happened after that? So if you read these verses from Bhagavatam, it will be helpful. So the controlling deities of all the above-mentioned physical elements are empowered expansions of Lord Vishnu. So So the elements that are there who are not cooperating, they are actually empowered expansions of Lord Vishnu. Okay, why are they called empowered expansions of Lord Vishnu? Because they are actively involved in creation, right? And creation is not possible without Mahavishnu. So each of these elements, they are empowered expansions of Mahavishnu. Each of these elements who are as of now not cooperating. So they are embodied by eternal time under the external energy, and they are his parts and parcels. Parts and parcels. They are not completely the Supreme Lord. They are his parts and parcels. Okay, but they are empowered by the Supreme Lord. So we should be clear. They are not completely Vishnu Tattva, but they are his parts and parcels, and they have the empowerment by the Supreme Lord. So because they were entrusted with the different functions of universal duties and they were unable to perform them, they offer fascinating prayers to the Lord as follows. The Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, from verse 38 onwards, it talks about the beautiful prayers that were offered by these elements of nature, personified elements of nature. They went and offered prayers to Mahavishnu. So there's a list of prayers that these elements offered, but specifically we will read only the last sentence that they mentioned, which is Bhagavatam, Canto 3, verse 5, chapter 5, verse number 51. So there, the elements went and told Mahavishnu, O Supreme Self, please give us, who are created in the beginning from the Mahatattva, the total cosmic energy, your kind directions on how we shall act. Kindly award us your perfect knowledge and potency so that we can render you service in the different departments of subsequent creation. So they went and asked Mahavishnu, how do we cooperate with each other? How do we combine with each other such that we form the elemental layer? And also, not only that, tell us how to do it and also give us the ability to do it. So they're asking for two things. Asking for knowledge. How do we do it? We don't know. At the same time, give us the ability, empower us. So like that, they go and request Mahavishnu. Okay? And then the next verse, which is 361, Canto 3, Chapter 6, Verse 1, next chapter of Bhagavatam, it says, the Lord thus heard about the suspension of the progressive creative functions of the universe due to the non-combination of its potency, such as the Mahatattva. And then the Supreme Powerful Lord then simultaneously entered into the 23 elements with Goddess Kali, his external energy, who alone amalgamates all the different elements. So it describes how Mahavishnu actually helped these elements by giving them his potency as well as giving them the knowledge as to how you do it. Okay, so the Lord, he entered each and every element. Here it says 23 elements, but of course we all know sometimes the list varies from, even in Bhagavatam, sometimes it says 23, sometimes 24, sometimes even more. The list will vary a bit, but basically we all know, we'll talk about the list of the different elements. So basically these elements, they were, Mahavishnu actually, not Mahavishnu, an expansion of Mahavishnu, he actually enters into each of these elements and he empowers them, and his external energy, Kali. Kali is none other than Durga, right? So Bhagavatam uses the word Kali. We'll see why specifically Bhagavatam says Kali. So Kali, I say Kali, I think, not Kali. Okay, Kali, she helps them actually combine, amalgamate. Why should they combine now? See, we just saw that initially everything had to be separated. So what is the question of combining again? So one may ask, combining in the sense cooperating again. That means each of these coverings of the material universe has sent a picture of the different coverings of material universe. You can see the picture of the different coverings. So all these coverings actually, it's called, they have different percentages of each element. That means it's called as Panchikaranam. Panchikaranam is nothing but we have air, water, ether, fire, all that, right? So each layer in that material universe, which is covering this Brahma's egg, like you see in the picture that I sent today, each of these layers, they have different percentages of all these elements, actually. It is not purely air, water, ether. Actually, predominant thing element could be air, Okay, if I say air, water, ether, these are the different layers of them. You have some 7 layers, right? So if I say these are the layers, that means the predominant layer, when I say air, predominant layer is air. But in other elements are also, I mean, or rather, let's talk about the last element, water, ether, or something like that. So the other elements are also combined in it to some extent. Though the predominant element is one, the others are also mixed together in that. That's why it's called panchikaranam. That's the term that is used in Sanskrit for this combining. So by doing the panchikaranam process, actually, these elements will cooperate with each other. And that is possible by Mahavishnu entering them. Okay? Very scientific. I'm not able to visualize it, but that's what is explained. Very, very scientific explanation. But let's go into the purport of what Prabhupada wrote about this verse. It's actually a Bhagavatam verse that I just spoke. I just said the Supreme Powerful Lord then simultaneously entered into the 23 elements with Goddess Kali. His external energy, who alone amalgamates all the different elements. So, purport says, the ingredients of matters are counted as 23. The total material energy, false ego, sound, touch, form, taste, smell, earth, water, fire, air, sky, eye, ear, nose, tongue, skin, and leg, and evacuating organ, genital, speech, mind, etc. All are combined together by the influence of time and again are dissolved in the course of time. So time, therefore, is the energy of the Lord. So it is Kala Shakti. Okay? So it is Kala Shakti. Time, therefore, is the energy of the Lord that acts in her own way by the direction of the Lord. And this Kala Shakti is also known as Kali. So this Kali or this external energy is actually the Kala Shakti herself and is represented by the dark, destructive goddess generally worshipped by persons influenced by the mood of darkness or ignorance in material existence. So the Lord enters into these elements and he applies his energy called as Kali, and Kali embodies Kala Shakti or time. So we saw from the glance of Mahavishnu, time is entering, right? So this time is going to help combine. Okay. So this time is none other than Kali, and she is helping them to combine or cooperate with each other. Now, Kali is called such because she is the energy of combining, and the controlling deities of elements who are in charge of the elements are going to combine. Okay. Now, who is the Vishnu that enters these elements? We said an expansion of Mahavishnu is going to enter these elements and help the elements. So, who is this Vishnu who is entering these elements? This Vishnu is the Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So the first role of Shirodakshaya Vishnu here is to first enter into each of the elements and then help them to combine. Okay? So that is the role Shirodakshaya Vishnu is playing. It is not Mahavishnu who comes and enters into the elements. He sends Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Shirodakshaya Vishnu, how was he created? He was created from the left limb of Mahavishnu. So that Shirodakshaya Vishnu is entering into each of these elements. Okay? Once he enters, and with his Kala Shakti known as Kali, he helps them to cooperate, then everything is settled. So now the elements are cooperating. And as these material elements, they cover each of these little golden sperms, they start expanding. Okay, they expand into shiny eggs, and for eons and eons, ages and ages, they actually lie in the waters of the Karana ocean, just like how footballs are floating in water. That's how Prabhupada gives the example of footballs. So eons and eons, they're simply floating, 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 and they're covered by these 7 layers of earth, water, fire, air, ego, Mahatattva, and Pradhan. So that is the picture I've sent. So these are the different layers represented by different deities, and you can see them marked in different colors. And each, so many universes are there. We should remember it's just not one universe. From body of Mahavishnu, so many universes are coming. In each of these universes, this process is happening. Panchikarnam is happening. Shirodakshaya Vishnu has entered, and he's helping the elements cooperate. And everything is floating for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Okay? And why do we need these coverings? We'll discuss in future verses. Not in today's class, maybe in the future it will be discussed. But generally, there are so many reasons why they give. One reason they say is because, you know, it's this, how this material world itself is like a prison house. So you cannot easily escape from prison, right? Like if you go to a prison, you will see how it is well guarded. You have a layer of water, for some, maybe some layer of electric fence or something like that. So to prevent the prisoners from just escaping easily. So they have to go through different layers before you go back to Godhead. Well, that is one reason. But there are many reasons why these elements are there. It is also for protection of the universe. So the universe is protected. And also each of these layers, one layer will be 10 times more than the other layer in progression. Okay? So we have these seven layers. They'll all be 10 times more, 10 times more like that in breadth, each layer. So it's a very huge universe. So then we'll go to verse number 20. Yojayitva tu tani eva pravivesha swayam guham guham praviste tasminstu jivatma pratibhutyate. Yojayitva, after conglomerating, tu then tani them eva certainly pravivesha, he entered swayam himself guham, the hidden cavity, guham, the hidden cavity, pravishte, after he entered, tasmin, within, that, to, then, jiva atma, the jivas, pratibuddhyate, were awakened. Translation. By conglomerating all those separated entities, he manifested the innumerable mundane universes and himself entered into the innermost recess of every extended conglomerate, Virat Vigraha. At that time, those jivas who had lain dormant during the cataclysm were awakened. So again, this verse has a lot to say. It talks about how the Lord, he entered into the innermost recess of every universe. It talks about Virat Vigraha. And it also talks about the jivas who were laying dormant got awakened. So three things are discussed in this verse. So we'll see it in detail. Now the universes, we saw the elements and all started cooperating nicely. And for a very long time, they were floating. Okay. Then what happened? Then what happened was Garbhodakshayi Vishnu enters. Okay, so far we have Shirodakshayi Vishnu who was there inside. He's there within each and every element. He's helping them. Now who enters next to Garbhodakshayi Vishnu? He's the one who enters into the innermost recess. Okay, so what happened is when he entered the innermost part of the universe, it was very, very hot. Very hot. So he began to sweat, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. He began to sweat. And with the sweat, half the universe was covered with the sweat. And then he lay down on a sweat, which actually formed an ocean, which is known as Garbhodaka Ocean. So if you see this material universe, this each material egg or material universe, you will see half the material universe is actually water. It is Garbhodaka water. And you see Garbhodakshayi Vishnu lying down on that water. Okay? So, he came there. Now, the same Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, he expanded himself as Hiranyagarbha's super soul, super soul of the entire universe, not individual super soul. So, Hiranyagarbha Vishnu is actually the super soul of the entire universe. Okay. So, this Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, he expands as the super soul of the entire universe. And this super soul of the entire universe, known as Hiranyagarbha Vishnu, is also known as Virat Rupa, the universal form. And this Virat Rupa is not an eternal form, it is an imaginary form. Why do we say that? There is no, in the sense, it is only for the sake of creation, it is formed and then it goes away. Okay, so it is not an eternal form, so we should be clear about it. So that's why Prabhupada always never recommends meditation on Virat Rupa. He will always say it's not an eternal form. Okay, so all the universes inside the universe, they actually represent different parts of the Virat Rupa body of this Purusha, Virat Purusha. different parts of his body are actually different universes. We have 14 universes, right? So each universe is actually a part of his body. Like we have all these from top, we have Bhu, Bhuva, Suva, Jana, Tapa, all that we have going up right from his navel. And then right down we have Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Tala, Atala, Rasatala, Mahatala, Patala, all that. So all these universes, the 14 universes, are actually different bodily parts or different sections of the body of this Virat Rupa. So that's why this Virat Rupa is very important, because it creates a blueprint on how the universe should be created. Okay. So when he, another thing, so far we have seen Garbhodakshaya Vishnu entered into the universe and he slept in the Garbhodakosham, which is nothing but a sweat in the bottom part. Then we saw he himself expands as the Virat Rupa. Okay. Then not only that, when the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is actually entering the universe, he is actually bringing all the jivas with him. He is taking all the jivas from the Karanodakshaya Vishnu's glands and he is taking them inside him and he is coming down and he is sleeping. Okay. So at this point in our discussion, all the jivas are inside Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Okay, so he's done three things. He's come and slept down, he's taken all the jivas with him, he's collected all the jivas. And this is not happening only in one universe. Each and every universe, the same process is happening. Each and every Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is collecting his quota of jivas and he's keeping them with him. Okay, and also the same person, he's going to expand. This is the Virat Rupa, showing a blueprint of how this universe should be created. Okay, now, this Virat Rupa, this universal form is a subtle form of Brahma. Okay, it's not the gross body of our Chaturmukha Brahma, not the gross body, but it is the subtle body of our Brahma. So what does that mean is that this universal form blueprint is actually given to Brahma before he is born from the lotus of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Okay, that means this Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he teaches Brahma, the subtle body of Brahma, he teaches Brahma how correctly each and every part of the universe will fit. Universal form blueprint is given to the subtle body of Brahma. How the upper planetary system is going to be situated, how the lower planetary systems are going to be situated, where what should be there, which planet should be where. All these details is actually given into the subtle body of Brahma. Okay, so we know all the jivas are reposing within him. Even Brahma is now reposing within him as of now, because he is the topmost of all jivas. So the subtle body is getting all this information. He's getting all the details. So basically, this Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is teaching the Virat Rupa form. He's teaching all the secrets to the Brahma of each universe, and this impression of the universal form will be in Brahma's mind when he begins creation. So the impression will be there in his mind when he gets his gross body later, and when he begins creation, the impression will be there. Okay, so that is what this verse was talking, and also this verse talks about the jivas getting activated. So it says that the karma or activity is awakened. So we saw that the jivas entered through the glands and then they were collected by Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And now slowly these jivas are enlivened. Their quota of karma and their desire that was dormant is now activated by the Kriya Shakti of the Lord. Or you can say by time, Kala Shakti of the Lord. So everything is now getting activated. All the jivas are ready. Okay. So this is what verse number 20 talks about. Now we'll do verse number 21, then we'll do verse number 18 that has been pending. Okay. Now 21, why we'll do is because it talks about the qualities of the jiva who are getting activated. What are their qualities? What is the nature of the jiva? All that is discussed in verse number 21. So we'll do verse number 21 quickly, then we'll go to verse number 18. Okay. Verse number 21. So nityo nitya sambandha prakritischa paraiva. Paraivasa. So that jiva, nitya, eternal, nitya sambandha, possessing an eternal relationship, prakriti, potency, cha, and para, spiritual, eva, certainly, sa, that. Translation. The same jiva is eternal and is for eternity and without a beginning, joined to the Supreme Lord by the tie of an eternal kinship. He is transcendental spiritual potency. So this talks about the characteristics of the jiva. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, in the purport, he talks some important points about the jiva's characteristics. I will give it to you in bullet points so we can get it in a short version of what the purport says. So basically, the characteristic of the jiva is that he is eternal. Just like how the Lord is eternal, the jiva is also eternal. He is eternally joined with Krishna just as the sun is joined with his rays. Without sun, there is no rays. Without rays, I mean, we don't see this. We don't understand the sun without his rays. So part and parcel. Sun rays is a part and parcel of the sun. Similarly, we are eternally joined with Krishna just as how the sun rays are joined with the sun. Okay, they are not perishable. The jivas are not perishable. They are eternal, but they are in very minute parts. Okay, infinitesimal parts. Okay, very very minute parts. They minutely display the qualities of Krishna, and hence they have all these qualities. Like they have knowledge, they have an identity, they have this sense of enjoying. They have the mind to think, just like Krishna. Whatever Krishna has. Everything, all the qualities Krishna has, since these are infinitesimal parts of the Supreme Lord, they also have infinitesimal amount of qualities of Krishna. Whatever qualities the Lord has, we also take up. Okay, and they are his transcendental potency called as Tathastha Shakti. You know, we have heard this internal potency, external potency, and marginal potency. So we represent the marginal potency of the Lord. Why are we called marginal? Because we can choose to either be with him or be without, be away from him. In the sense, we come down to the material world. So that's why they're called as the marginal. We are the Tathastha Shakti, but we are a part of his energy. Okay. Then we are susceptible to the influence of material energy as we are very small. We are very, very small. We are not as great as the Supreme Lord, right? So we are susceptible to be affected by Maya. We are susceptible to be affected by the material energy. Okay, the Supreme Lord will never get affected by Maya. The Mayavadi says when the Supreme Lord, he takes a form, the Supreme Lord will emanate from Brahma Jyoti, he will come here and he'll be affected by Maya or something like that. But we are not affected by, we are affected by Maya, but the Supreme Lord will never be affected by Maya. Why are we affected by Maya, or why are we affected by the material energy? That is because we are very small. We are very, very small when compared to him. Hence, we are affected by Maya. Then it says, as long as the jiva is submissive to Krishna, he is not influenced by Maya. So once we surrender to the Lord, the Maya is removed, the covering of Maya is removed, and we can perfect our life, and we can go back to Krishna. Okay? So as long as we are submissive, as long as we surrender, we can conquer Maya. But otherwise, this infinitesimal small portion of the Lord is easily susceptible, and he is covered by Maya. Okay, so that is verse number 21, talking about the jivas, the quality of the jivas who are reposing now, currently inside Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu. All of them are transferred into him now. Okay. Now, verse number 18 we will do now, because that's how we'll understand the correct order. Otherwise, we would have got confused if we did verse number 18 earlier. So now I'll do verse number 18. Sishrukashyam tatona bestasya padmam vinirjayau tanalam hemanalinam brahmano lokam atputham. Sishrukashyam. When there was the will to create, tataha, then nabehe, from the navel, tasya of him, padmam, a lotus, vinirayau came out, tat nalam, its stem, hema malinam, like a golden lotus, brahmanaha of Brahma, lokam, the abode, adbutam, wonderful. Translation. Then Vishnu, lying in the ocean of milk, wills to create the universe. A golden lotus springs up from his navel pit. The golden lotus with its stem is the abode of Brahma, representing Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. Purport. Gold here means the dim reflection of pure cognition. Okay. So now, when you read this verse, isn't it confusing? It says, the Vishnu lying in the ocean of milk wills to create the universe, and the golden lotus springs from his navel pit, and this golden lotus, the top of this golden lotus, there is this abode of Brahma. So Bhargavatakshaya Vishnu is the one from whose navel the stem comes out, and you have Brahma in Satyaloka sitting in a lotus. But why is it saying ocean of milk? Because Garbhodakshaya is the ocean of Vishnu's sweat, right? So it is kind of confusing. So that is explained here. We also discussed this in the previous class. Sometimes we always talk about the Vishnu's interchangeably, actually. We always talk about the Vishnu's interchangeably. It's just like one person. Actually, everyone, it is the same person, same Karnodakshaya Vishnu. He is the one who has taken the form of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. He is the one who has taken the form of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Okay, so they are sometimes used interchangeably. The names are used interchangeably, and it should not. And even the Bhagavatam does it. It's not that only in Brahma Samhita we see this kind of confusion. Or I haven't say confusion. It is just that the name is used interchangeably. That's all. Even in the Bhagavatam, there are so many verses. Actually, I didn't write down each and every verse. All the Maharajas, when I was listening to their seminars, they quoted so many verses from the Bhagavatam where Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu were used interchangeably. Even Karnodakshaya Vishnu was used interchangeably. The name was used interchangeably. So here, actually, this is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and he's sleeping in the bottom of the universe. And from him, actually, the Brahma is going to be, the gross body of Brahma is going to be created from the lotus stem. So that's how we understand it. And, the explanation that Prabhupada gives in many places and which the Maharajas were quoting was like, for example, there is a person called as, Vishnu Sharma. When he goes to his office, the people may say, oh, Mr. Sharma has come, but in his house, he's known as Vishnu. So it doesn't mean that Vishnu and Sharma are totally different people. They're actually the same person. So the names of these three Vishnus and their functions are also sometimes interchangeably spoken of. But our understanding is that this verse actually talks about Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So, Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. So we have covered till verse number 21, and we will stop here. Again, verse number 22 also talks in detail about the jivas of, who are inside the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and further creation of how Brahma comes out from the lotus. All that is discussed from verse 22, I think, till 27. So with that, I think creation will be complete. So one more class we'll have on further creation. Okay. I'd like to stop here. Any questions, corrections, additions? Please feel free to add. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Machaji. Thank you very much for a very scientific class, as you said so appropriately. Thank you for that connection with the Bhagavatam, because that was something I was thinking about as I would listen to your older classes, so that fit in right well. I have a question that's kind of, I don't know how to explain the question, really. You know, speaking about, impersonalists or this pantheism, I guess that's the term that's used representing some of Vedic. So this is that aspect. Is this that aspect that they, you know, when they're describing Vedic scriptures, modern scientists or whatever you want to call it, modern religionists or whatever, you know, they use the term pantheistic. And that is this whole idea of that there's so many gods and whatever. So in a sense, this is answering that question and putting to rest, in a sense there is that pantheistic thing, but we have to understand that term is a secondary step, in other words. So the primary, the as you said, Ishvara Parama Krishna, the primeval first, you know, the cause of all causes is Krishna. And from Krishna, you have all these subsequent delegatory, you know, agencies or demigods, you know, and as you said, they were empowered entities, empowered aspects of the Lord. Yes.
Yeah. That's what the Bhagavatam was saying. Yeah.
Okay, and so I guess that's my question. That is my understanding. So if somebody comes to us, and as a preaching perspective, if somebody comes to us and says, oh, well, you're pantheistic, and we say, yes, but no, we're not, you know. This is the real truth is, and you have to really get down to say, this is where the beginning is. This is where it starts from. And all these different entities that are created are empowered empowered delegates of the order, empowered, what do you call it, governors or entities. So that's I guess my understanding. Is that correct? Can I say that?
Fantastic.
Is that
fantastic? Of course. So okay. Nice. You have given us a new dimension of thinking. It's so nice. Yeah. Thanks for your realization. That's so beautiful. Yeah. So next time if someone talks about pantheism to me, I know what to answer. Thanks.
Yeah. I have the other question I have is you said something about, and I can't remember if it was in this class or the beginning class when you said, the prototype. You said something to the effect that the spiritual aspect of the original Lakshmi or the original Saraswati or something you said a couple. Do you know what I'm talking about? You said Krishna. I'm trying to figure out when you say, you know, is there an aspect of these of Durga or Kali in the spiritual world or something you said about that. Do you know what I'm talking? Do you remember any help? Any, does that ring a bell to you? I can't remember what it was.
Actually, this is another very interesting question because it doesn't have a clear-cut answer. Like in the material world only, we discussed today about the chit and achit. We were talking about how Shambhu's consorting with Durga and Brahma consorts with Savitri, whereas Vishnu only consorts with that spiritual chit potency, Lakshmi. That's how we spoke in today's class, because we were talking about what's happening inside the universe or the universal creation. But if you look at it in the spiritual world, it is very interesting. There is also a spiritual Saraswati in the Vaikuntha. And she is considered as the energy of the Lord. So,
So where does that all fit in? How does that fit? I mean, I do remember that. I remember that when we were reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and we spoke about
spiritual Saraswati.
Yes, spiritual Saraswati. I didn't know exactly. It was just another aspect that's kind of mind-boggling. I guess eventually it will be revealed as a little bit more. It's interesting, and I just wonder where it falls into place. That's it.
So this the Lord in Vaikuntha, he has many potencies, like at least I think 8 or 16 major energies, 8 energies, and then they expand into 16 energies or something. Just like how we have the Ashtasakhis in Goloka Vrindavan, you know, similar concept. Even in Vaikuntha, you have so many Shaktis around the Lord. Like if I zoom a picture of the Vaikuntha realm in our Goloka chart, I'll probably send a picture of that. If you see there also, you'll find so many Shaktis around. You'll see even Saraswati, spiritual Saraswati. All these are originally the energies of the Lord sporting in Vaikuntha, and they are purely chit potency. So one Prabhu, when he was giving the seminar on Goloka chart, he was very sweetly telling that all these personalities, they are actually there in the spiritual world, but they are not like they are not to be taken in a mundane sense like how we take it in the material world. So the Lord likes to use the same names of these people when it comes even to spiritual demigods, when it comes to the material world, when it comes to naming the demigods, he likes to use the names of his energy that is there in Vaikuntha. So I thought that was a cool answer that he gave. I'm trying to understand this in that term. Like, all these characters are there in the spiritual world, and when the material world is also created, the Lord likes to give the same names to these demigods, you know? Something like, in that sense, he gave an answer. I'll look up his seminar and send it again. Yeah.
Okay, and it doesn't mean that, does it mean that an aspect of that original energy, an amsa or whatever you want to call, has come down? Or not necessarily?
No, I don't know. Maybe not necessarily, but I don't know. I don't have an answer.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm just getting a little bit too analytical, but I'm just always thinking, the more you talk, the more questions I get. It's not like you figure you have more knowledge, you'll understand. As I don't know, one of the Prabhus was saying in last class, the more you know, the more you realize that you just don't know anything.
Anything, yeah, yeah.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you.
Vishwan Prabhu or Bhaktivinoda Prabhu?
They're waiting for you, Prabhu.
Prabhu, yeah, I'm last, so.
Prabhu, Tanapati Prabhu says, then what should we do?
No, Prabhu. No, Mataji, this is too much, Mataji. If somebody were to drop, they can simply drop and start missing all other commentaries. So, Bhaktivinoda Prabhu, you are next, Prabhu. I had to, it's like a TV program, I had to say, you are next.
Mataji, your class was very fantastic, and I was especially very fascinated when you mentioned about Kali and how I never thought about the time potency of Kali, because usually when Kali is described, always her form, that gauri form only comes to the mind, but actually Kali accommodates the time, that was very interesting to me.
So true, Prabhu.
And just to connect that with just the discussion that we just had about pantheism, and it's like Krishna says in Gita that among the destroyers or among subduers I am time. But Krishna really doesn't do them on his own, but he uses Lord Shiva. And interestingly, Lord Shiva is also called Kala sometimes.
Yeah.
And Kala is the masculine Sanskrit of Kali.
Kali. Oh, wow, Jay.
So that's that is really fascinating. And Lord Shiva is the one who dances and he brings things to an end. And Kali is the potency of the power. That was very fascinating.
Oh my God, Prabhu, you realize, I mean, what you said now is like, wow, it's so good. Yeah, I understand the whole thing better now after you explained this. Thanks, Prabhu.
Oh, thanks for explaining that. I never really could found the relation, but now it makes a little sense, because Krishna says, I am the subduer. So really, Krishna, there's only one God, but he has different potencies that do that. So it's like it is monotheism, and then all the potencies appear to outsiders like pantheism.
Beautiful. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you for explaining that.
Thanks, Prabhu.
That's all I have.
Ushwan Prabhu, are you there?
None of the problem. Please, waiting for you. Please inspire us to ask some questions.
Prabhuji, we can't change the protocol, Prabhu. We had to go now.
Prabhu, it's not Shastric protocol, so I don't believe in those things. Please tell.
Prabhu, since you are instructing me, I'm going, Prabhu. Mataji, it's a wonderful class, Mataji, as usual. But after hearing today's class, Mataji, I remembered one Prabhupada book, Mataji.
Yeah.
Get shot and be happy. So no need to get into all these details. So many details break my brain, small brain. Try to understand details, reference so many books, Bhagavatam, and last line, two lines. It's easy, Mataji. Just chant and be happy. That's what I learned a lesson today, Mataji. It's so intense, Mataji's class. So nice. Mataji, I got one. It's not a question, Mataji. My understanding also, Mataji. I just wanted to do some reference. Last week, you know, right, Mataji, last Friday, we moved to a new home.
Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you, Mataji.
Congratulate you.
Thank you so much, Mataji. So as part of that, we did puja, Mataji. It's called Satyanarayana Swami Ratham. Satyanarayana Swami is, Amsha of Vishnu, right, Mataji. So in that one, usually I hear the mantras very clearly, Mataji. I pay attention to each and every mantra, Mataji, because I like to hear that one. Try to understand. So they, while glorifying Lord Satyanarayana Swami, right, Mataji, so they keep on saying, Rama Devi Sametasya. So you were mentioning about Rama Devi, right, Mataji? Mahavishnu, right? So they are referring to the Rama Devi there, because in any other ritual, Mataji, I never heard the name mention of concert, Mataji, Rama Devi. But Rama only Devi. There, yeah, every time they say the end of the puja, they have to conclude one chapter. They say Rama Devi Sametasya. So, and they conclude the chapter. So, just one observation, Mataji. So, we have been following that one, but at least I didn't pay attention why they are saying all those names. So, that is one thing, Mataji. Then, Mataji, you were talking about exchange of energy, right, Mataji? I mean, like switching the energy. I mean, not energy, but the qualities. Something like Shirodakshai Vishnu means always in milk. But Garbhodakshai is mentioned from the milk portion of milk, right, Mataji? So here I see same thing, Mataji. When I was reading the book Ishopanishad, Mataji, the Brahman means it's completely every line, every page, they say Brahman means the white light. The Brahman is all about Jyoti, that's all. Then when we switch back to Bhagavatam in one of our Sunday classes, right, Mataji, then they mention Brahman means Krishna also.
Krishna,
they are so confused. So why are they saying? And in some other place, they say it's a super soul. It's also called Brahman.
Brahman, yeah. So, even the spirit soul is Brahman.
Yeah. So like that, when you were saying, I was not more confused, Mataji, because I was already confused one time with an term Brahman. I just want to share that for Mataji. That's all.
Nice, Prabhu. Thanks, Prabhu. Both these, what you shared is very, very nice. I like that thing that you were saying, that you were listening to the mantras, and also they were talking about Rama Devi. Then only it strikes a connection to us. Until we read all this now, otherwise we'll not even pay attention to what they're saying, or we won't even bother what is Rama Devi Sunita or something. So nice, Prabhu. Very nice. Thank you, Prabhu. Thanks for sharing.
Yes, Mataji. And just one more observation, Mataji. In that puja, Satyanarayana Swami Vratam, we say, Mataji. In that one, I heard very clearly, Mataji, half the part they are glorifying Lord Krishna, all the mantras, and half the part they are completely glorifying Radharani, Mataji, in different names. That Vratam is all about Krishna only, Mataji. So, many of them, either knowingly or unknowingly, they are worshiping Krishna. That's a good thing, Mataji. Mataji, that's all, Mataji. I don't have any questions. Because I realize chant and be happy. That's easy. No need to put any effort.
Jai Prabhu.
Yeah, thank
you
so much,
Prabhu.
Mataji. Thank you. Haribol, Mataji.
Haribol.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Sir, thank you for such a wonderful class. Even Ratnavali heard it, and she was saying that hearing from these kind of things from you makes her more it stays in her memory, because you pretty much peel out like a banana and explain this very tough topics.
No problem. But thank you so much, Prabhu. I'm so glad Mataji was also on the call. Thank you, Prabhu.
Mataji, just one quick question. I'm just looking at an angle of a preaching kind of a question, because if someone asks this question, I don't know what to tell. So you mentioned how Garbhodaka Vishnu enters into this universe, and when it's because of the heat or hot that's there, he sweats, right? and then Garbhodak Krishna forms. But we say it's Lord Vishnu is a spiritual entity who doesn't have a gross body, right? There's no fluid in him as such, like blood and pus and all the stuff. So how does he sweat? If you consider that aspect, how can we explain this sweating part of the Lord? I know we can simply tell it's a transcendental pastime or inconceivable pastime. Is that the answer that we can give, or is there any further explanation to it?
Yes, Prabhu. I mean, we can say like how all the activities of the Lord are like prototype activities. So whatever he does, we are doing it in a perverted way. Like, for example, his sweat is transcendental. Whatever bodily liquid that is coming out from him, that is in the purest state. Okay, but when we sweat, it has odor, it has all our whatever we have eaten, the smell of what we have eaten, everything comes out through the pores of our skin. So just like Mahavishnu, he has so many pores. We also have pores. From his pores, universes are coming. From our pores, this kind of sweat is coming. That is the abominable sweat is coming. But from the pores of the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, the water that is coming out, basically, it's like a prototype action, Prabhu. So when the water is coming out, we should not consider it to be like the sweat that we sweat. Okay? There are so many things coming out from the body of Mahavishnu. From the body of Mahavishnu, universe has come out. Like that, from the body of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, water is coming out and it is filling up half of the universe. So that's how we understand it. And the same principle we have taken in a minute level. The jivas have taken it in a minute level. And we are exhibiting it in a very low-grade kind of an activity. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Perfect, Mataji. Thank you very much. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no further questions, Mataji. Looking forward to more classes.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Only Sujata Mataji has to go now. Okay, I don't know if she...
Thank you so much. And very nice questions also.
Yeah, very nice questions. Very nice discussion.
thank you very much.
Okay, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna. So thank you all so much. Will you end, Prabhu? Prabhu and Mataji, shall we end the call?
Mataji, just Garbhodak Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, last week, I mean, we were talking, right, Mataji? You shared some pages, right, Mataji? Colorful pages. What is that, Mataji? Which book is that?
So that Mataji who shared it is on the call. Panishwari Mataji is on the call. So basically, that book is Bhagavata Subodhaya, is it, from Mataji? Can you explain, Mataji?
Yeah, it's the Bhagavata Subodhini. And it's actually done by the... the devotees in Mumbai, I believe, they actually, it's almost like cliff notes, you know, like cliff notes or a outline for the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so they've done the first four cantos, and it's three different books, one in first canto, second canto is in first book, second canto is book by itself, and I mean the third canto is the book by itself because it's got many chapters, and the fourth canto is now out. So they're out, they're available in India, so I actually picked them up when I was there. I had a friend pick them up for me in Mumbai, but I believe Preeti Mataji put a Facebook that they're actually going to be distributed in the U.S. now. But it's a very, very good book. It's excellent. It's got outlines. It's got verse for verse. It's basically cliff notes. I don't know if cliff notes is an American thing, but it's like an outline and a guidebook for the Bhagavatam, where you can study it systematically. We're using it for the Bhakti Vaibhav course, so it's very helpful.
Actually, in this call, we have two Bhakti Vaibhav candidates. You should be giving us more information.
Thank you, Mataji.
Nice, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So, Prabhu, we'll end the call.
Yes, Mataji.
Vancha kalpataru vyascha kripa sindhu devyascha satitanam pavaneyo vaishnavedyo namo namah ananta koti vaishnav ramakti jay namah shri 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 brahma samhita jay all glories to the assembled devotees hare krishna
hare krishna sthiti vilasi mataji ki jay
ananta koti vaishnav ramakti jay thank you all
hari bol thank you mataji hari bol
hari bol thank you
hari bol